Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse number 9. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse number 9. There the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared unto another form in the two, or from, let's start that, verse number 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And as they went and told unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them that for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen."
It's good to be here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth, as we come to learn more about what thus saith the Lord, as we strive to be all that God would have us to be. Well, last week we talked about a series concerning the words of Jesus, and we're going to continue that for the next few months because it is some great information to be had and to be learned from the very words of our Savior, whom the Bible teaches us very clearly that we see Jesus and that we ought to look to Jesus and that we ought to follow his example because his example is worth following. I want to encourage us today as we look at some of the words of Christ. Go, preach, and baptize are the words that we saw in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through verse 16, especially capitalizing on verse number 15 and 16. Before we get started, I want us to take notice of Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. I want us to take notice of this very passage before we get started because I'm going to use this as a launching pad for us on this morning. Because as the people of God, we have a great opportunity to not only please God, but to help those who are going through all types of trouble in their lives, and maybe even perhaps some of us, that we may be involved in good works. And friends, this is a good work to go out and teach and preach the gospel that men and women can know that they can have a life after sin. And friends, there is life after sin. There is no reason for anyone to take their own life. There is no reason for anyone to give up on Christ. There is no reason for anyone to say that I am no good. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for us. However, as the people of God, we have an opportunity to go out and teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I like what Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. He said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, Titus, that those who believe in God should be careful, notice, to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." I want to say that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good and profitable to men. I know in the context he's dealing with good works as it relates to doing that which is noble for other men. However, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ is a good work. Number one, It's a good work because God commanded it. He commanded it to his apostles, and because we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we're going to carry the baton of truth to the world. When we consider Jesus Christ, our master, Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, our Lord, Acts chapter 2, verse number 36, our Christ, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36, this great man of God, he had great things to say, not only during his life, but friends, the Bible even captures certain words that Jesus spoke after his resurrection. And friends, this ought to give us great encouragement. And I want to encourage us to do exactly what Jesus told his apostles to do, and that's go, that's preach, and that's baptize. Let's go out and let's do that, and let's help people see that there is life after sin. But let's capture some words of Jesus before we get into the heart of our lesson. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19, we capture some very powerful words from Jesus as he is picking his disciples. Remember, these are the ones that the Father chosen for Jesus Christ. We know that because of John 17. Jesus said, I have lost none in whom you have given me. But in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19, Jesus tells his two that he chose right there, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Great words from our Lord. If we're going to hear anything, we're going to hear what Jesus has to say. Travel over to Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 6. We find Jesus saying some things again that are worthy of our attention. Remember, he heals this paralytic, and he says something that's very powerful and worthy of us considering. Notice the latter part of that verse after he says that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin on earth. Notice what he says to the paralytic, arise, pick up thy bed and walk and go to your house. Isn't it amazing that here we find Jesus telling this paralytic to arise, take up his bed and go to his house? When we consider that, we know for a fact that Jesus had that power. But then turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse number 49. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 49, we see some more powerful words of Jesus when he was younger. Here he is talking to his mother and his father upon the earth, Joseph. And remember, they had left him accidentally in Jerusalem, and he wasn't at the playground playing. He wasn't playing on his PlayStation. No, he was in the temple. He was asking questions and being asked questions. And notice what was said by Jesus after his parents found him. He says, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus was always about his Father's business. What a great saying that we capture from Jesus Christ. And friends, that ought to be worthy of us considering as well, that if we're going to be about anybody's business, we ought to be about our Father's business. Look at John 3, a very notable verse, verse 16. Y'all already know this passage. Notice what he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, what a powerful saying from our Lord. Now turn to John 14 and look at verse 6. It's good to see the Bibles turning. It's good to see everyone scrolling through the scriptures, because this is exactly what I was hoping that we would do as we capture some of the words of Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse number 6, Jesus would not leave his men without evidence. He tells them, I am the way. Ego a me. I am the way. I am the road. I am the way that people are going to go back to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now that was all before his resurrection. But notice after his resurrection. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul captures some words from Jesus. Remember, Paul was caught up possibly to the third heavens. He talks to the Corinthians in third person language. Most likely he was referring to himself. However, we see something that's powerful in verse number 35 as he is talking to these Ephesian elders after his resurrection. We know that because it was Jesus that showed himself to the Saul or the Apostle Paul after his ascension back to his Father. Remember what he told those Ephesian elders? Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Friends, those are powerful words for us even today. That when we consider giving, we're not just giving just to be given. We're given because it's blessed. Jesus said those words. And if we're going to listen to anyone, we're going to listen to Jesus Christ. But then notice John chapter 20 and verse number 15. Immediately after Jesus' resurrection, notice what he says here. Here we find Jesus as he uses words of comfort. He says, "Woman, why are you crying?" You're probably thinking, why that verse? Remember, Jesus had died. He'd been in the tomb. But now the tomb is empty. She's weeping because her Lord is not there. Jesus gives words of comfort by saying, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Oh, Jesus wasn't just one who confronted the religious leaders in a very stern way, but he was also one who came in a very soft way. "Woman, why art thou weeping?" But then notice John 21, just across the page, and verse number 15. Jesus, as he is talking to Peter, and remember, Peter had denied the Lord three times, and here we find Jesus, again, being one of a comfort. Yet one who challenges his people. He was challenging Peter. And notice what he says in John chapter 15, John chapter 21 and verse 15. The very last part, notice what he tells Peter. "Feed my lamb." Friends, if we're going to listen to anyone, shouldn't we listen to Jesus? We have many in the world today who don't listen to Jesus. As a matter of fact, just the other day at the gym, a guy told me when I was talking to him about Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15 and 16, he said, "I don't believe that." I said, "Jesus said that." And I just thought it was pretty interesting that I've been studying this as it relates to the sayings of Jesus and also come across someone who said, "I don't believe that." Hold on, Jesus said that. I can understand if it was something difficult as in one of Paul's most difficult sayings, as Peter brings up in 2 Peter chapter 3, but no, it was Jesus. Jesus said this. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, notice some recording words of Jesus. Bible teaches us, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples." Notice, make pupils, learners, students, followers of every ethnic group. Ethnos, nations is in the English. Ethnos is your Greek rendering there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, meaning give them instructions to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Three things I want us to discuss here real quick. Number one, we observe that Jesus Christ has all authority. God gave him that authority, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. God put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's amazing that the Apostle Paul speaks by inspiration in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 27 that everything is under Jesus except him that put all things under his feet. God is the only one that's over Jesus Christ. Other than that, everything else is under Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has authority over all flesh. I was pondering this morning as I was getting out of my bed. John 17 and verse number 2. Jesus thanked the Father that you give me authority over all flesh. Now ponder that thought before we go any further. And the reason I want us to ponder that thought because if all men have flesh, and all men have flesh. That means all men are under the authority of Jesus Christ. Here's the problem, Brother Dennis. All men have not submitted to his authority. Just because all men have not submitted to his authority doesn't mean that all men are not under his authority. Why? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But then number two, Jesus says to his disciples in verse number 19, "Go therefore and make disciples." It's interesting, according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, that the gospel had gone out to all of the known world at that time. It's amazing that Paul, by inspiration, says that. You know what that also teaches us, friends? That the gospel does have the power to go out to the whole world. The question is, what are we doing to make sure that the gospel goes out in the circle of influence that we have? And we have great influence. We know great people. We know many people. As a matter of fact, we all have friends and family who are not members of the Lord's church, who are going through hard times in their lives, have not submitted themselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and are looking for a way out. And I know they're looking for a way out because denominationalism at times flourishes and they don't even have the truth. We have the truth because we have the gospel. We have the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 16, woe if I preach not the gospel. Paul said that the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the very appearance of Christ is God's power to save man. It's his only power, not spaghetti dinners or anything else. It is the power of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of the gospel. So therefore, we find Jesus telling his disciples in verse number 19, notice, baptizing. Friends, we know for a fact that God knows what he means. And God says what he means. And Jesus tells his disciples to go baptize them, notice, into the name of, literally, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing that a person can come up out of sin, they can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then they're going to be immersed into the name of, into the possession of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who wouldn't want to be a member or associated or in communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Friends, here is the good news right here. But then notice Mark 16. This is where I want us to get, Mark 16. Because we know that God wants all men to be saved. We know that men have found themselves in a spiritual pickle, if you will. Paul would say it like this in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 26. Some have caught themselves into the devil's snare. Can't get out. Friends, this is where we come in. We come in with that good news. We come in with the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. They said good news is different for different people. Well, the good news could be, well, we have an individual who just bought a new car. That's good news because they've been driving a hoopty all their lives. That's a junk car for y'all, some of y'all who don't know what a hoopty is, all right? Somebody just bought a new house. They've just been living in a shack all their lives. Well, sometimes good news is not good news. Sometimes people think good news is good news, but it's bad news. Husband just left me. Wife just left me. That's good news. No, that's not good news. It's bad news. Someone dying in sin is bad news. Mark 16, verse 9 through 20. We find something very powerful. But look at verse 15. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Hold on. Matthew didn't bring that out, Brother Garrett. Mark brings out that element of the gospel, that good news, the glad tidings. But what is it? Friends, I guarantee you, listen to this. Listen to this well. If you ask a person about the sayings of Jesus, and you ask them, what is the gospel? It's a very plain, interesting question. Simple question. Most people could not explain to you what the gospel is. They would say it's the Bible. It's the word of God. It's good news. Yes, it is good news. But the Bible clearly defines what the gospel is. And you cannot be saved unless one knows what the gospel is. There's no way to be saved without knowing what the gospel is. Jesus tells his disciples, Mark picks this up by way of recording in verse number 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be delivered, saved. Saved from what? saved from the wrath of God, Romans 5 and verse number 9. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, friends, this is very clear English for us to understand. And as the people of God, what a great responsibility and opportunity that we have, because we have been saved from sin. We have been saved from the wrath of God. God's wrath doesn't abide upon us, John 3 and verse number 36. And because of this, we're going to take the good news to the world. Now, let's illustrate this. When we consider the word gospel, especially in this particular text, it's the idea of an individual who had gone out to war. And as he goes out to war, they conquer the enemy. Then they have the soldier as he runs back home to the people. And he's waving the flag and he's running up the hill, and the people see him coming up the hill and he's crying out, Nico. Kari, Nico men rather. Kari meaning good news. Hold on. Jesus being raised from the dead. Remember, he suffered a very horrific death, Brother Popejoy. He was beaten. He was scourged. He died on that cross. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, according to Luke chapter 24, he was raised from the dead. Now, here it is, friends. And Jesus raises up on resurrection ground and he says, good news, we are victorious. We have the victory. The victory over what? The victory over sin. It doesn't matter, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If God has done nothing else for us, if he does nothing else for us, he has done enough, Brother Brian, by delivering us from sin. And so Jesus says, in essence, that man has been delivered from sin because I have been raised from the grave. And the very fact that we have been raised from the grave, we are to go out with the privilege and the opportunity and the thanksgiving to go out and tell people you can be delivered as well. Friends, I know this for a fact. So what is this gospel that Jesus is talking about? Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we allow the Bible to clearly define what the gospel is. Now, friends, we must know this because we are the ones who are responsible to go out and carry the good news. We must be reminded of these things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, notice what your Bible has to say. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. Interesting. We're about to see what the gospel is. Which I preach to you, which we see that the gospel can be preached. Which I also receive, so we see that the gospel can be received. In which you stand, so we know that you can stand in the gospel. By which you are saved. Jesus said that himself. If you hold fast to the words which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. Brother Estes, here it is. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, notice, the third day, which is divine commentary on Luke chapter 24, when Jesus was talking to those on the road to Emmaus, and they were chiding Jesus Christ, saying, where have you been? This is the third day since all of the events have taken place. So we know for a fact that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But hold the phone. There's more to it. There's more to this gospel. Notice what the Bible here has to say according to verse number 4, verse 5. And that he was seen by Cephas, which is Peter, then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have died. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Now notice what Paul says. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due season. Hold on. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the very appearance of Christ is the gospel. I know we always hear death, burial, and resurrection. Well, then it's implied that he was seen. But hold on. We have false teachers and people today who say that I've raised the dead, but we haven't seen them dead, nor have we seen them alive. Jesus, here, the power of God, raising Jesus from the dead, and then showing people that God had the power to take away the greatest enemy of all mankind, and that is death. But then notice Mark chapter 16 as we go back. As a matter of fact, before we do that, let's travel backwards before I go there. Go to Romans chapter 6, friends. We're going to get to the words of Jesus here in a second. But go to Romans chapter 6. Let me show you this real quick. As we go in reverse. In Romans chapter 6, the first four verses, notice what your Bible here has to say. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's a powerful question from the Apostle Paul as he was talking to the Roman brethren. We know this for a fact. But notice what he says. Of course not. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now let's stop real quick. Let's make a quick point. Paul is talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians because he's telling them, you have died to sin. You're no longer in sin. You're walking in the light, but something's going wrong. You're thinking that you can continue in sin and that the more you sin, the more grace you have from God. Paul said, no. That's totally opposite. That's not the case. So he's talking to Christians. He's encouraging them. He's commanding them and telling them, no, don't be living in sin. Why? Because you've been raised. But notice what he says in verse number 3. But do you not know that as many of us as were baptized, immersed, notice, into Christ, Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27 is divine commentary right here. We're baptized where? Into his death. Jesus died on the cross. But here it is. Therefore, we were buried with him. Jesus was buried in the tomb through baptism. How do we identify with the death of Christ, friends? We identify with the death of Christ by going down in the watery grave of baptism, Colossians 2, 11 through 14. Thus, God is operating on our souls. He is cleansing our bodies and cleansing our conscience with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we are identified with God himself. That's powerful right there, friends. And here, Paul is using this argument to those who have already been baptized into Christ. He said, you've already been a Christian, and so don't be living like this. Notice verse number 4, the latter part. He said, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk. Here it is, Brother Dennis, in the newness of life. What do we see here, friends? We see the death. We see the burial, we see the resurrection, the newness of life, we see the appearance of mankind. We see Christ living in us, the hope of glory. Friends, the Bible is right. As we continue to work backwards, go to Mark chapter 16. Now we get to the text. I said all that to get to this point. All that was introductory material. We're just now getting started on my preaching. I'll have you out by 1 o'clock. I promise to have you out by 1. When we consider, when did Jesus die? Look at Mark chapter 15. Look at verse 37. Real quick. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and the Bible teaches us that he breathed his last. There we see the death of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our Ruler. But then notice, chapter 15, starting at verse number 42. Now, when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. That's important. Pilate marveled that he was already dead and summoned the centurion. He asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out, from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he brought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Friends, that's the burial. Our Lord died. Our Lord was buried. But then notice verse number 9 of chapter 16. Matter of fact, I'm sorry, verse 6 of chapter 16. But he said to them, don't be alarmed. Remember, these were the angels that were sitting in white robes inside of the tomb. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified? What does the Bible say, friends? He is risen. Brother Paul, do you see that? We see the death. We see the burial. We see Jesus being raised. And notice the proof. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. That's the evidence. Friends, if anything, as Christians, as members of the church here, we have evidence because we have eyewitnesses of our Lord dying, being handled, being laid in a tomb, being raised. He's not there. But then notice in verse number 9, and here we are right here, friends. This is where the context is. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, just as it was prophesied, he appeared. Here is his appearance. First to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out 7 devils. Verse number 12. After that, he appeared in another form to 2 of them that walked and went into the country. Verse number 14. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, as they ate, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. I say all of that to say this, friends. Sometimes as God's people, I know for myself, I forget and need to be reminded of the greatness of our God and what he did for us. Sometimes I forget that Christ is living in me, the hope of glory by faith, Ephesians 3, Colossians chapter 1. So we have to be reminded as the people of God, as the Christians, as members of the Lord's church here at 9th and May, we have to be reminded to go, to preach, and to baptize. We have to be reminded of the commission that we have to go out and tell everyone and tell anyone about someone, Jesus Christ. Friends, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1 and verse number 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Preachers, we must be preaching the gospel. Doesn't matter how people treat us, inside or outside of the church. 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the good news of Jesus Christ, and therefore, because we preach it, we're going to go ahead and do what God has said, and because of what God has done for us, we're going to continue to do his will. We're not going to pervert the gospel. In Galatians 1 and verse number 6, Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. That there cannot be another man that can do what Jesus did. There's not another man that can preach and teach like Jesus taught. There's not another man that can have the patience and have the balance and be the man that he was. And friends, this is what we're striving to do. And this is who we're striving to be. We're striving to be that balanced individual, that one that always stands on truth and doesn't compromise. Yet, one that bends but doesn't break, has that flexibility in their lives, always stand with the truthfulness of the gospel, having the joy in their hearts, knowing for a fact that we got somewhere to go, and that's heaven. Wow, the gospel is good news, and it's our responsibility to go out and teach and preach and help people see the truth of the gospel. Friends, let's not go to sleep on the gospel. let's keep in mind what it cost. This is why I wanted to bring it from this vantage point, Brother Popejoy, because we didn't deal with the scourging. We didn't talk about the beating that he took, which means that since we're not greater than our master, we might take a verbal beating from people at times because of the truth of the gospel. Our enemies will be those of our own households from the words of Jesus Christ. We know for a fact that we have something awaiting us from the words of Jesus Christ. Be thou faithful even to the point of death. Even if you was to lose your life, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for we know for a fact that when we die in the Lord, it's going to be all right. And blessed are they that die in the Lord. Yea, henceforth saith the Spirit, they do rest from their labors, and their works do follow them, from the words of Jesus, Revelation 14, 13. The more I think about this great man, and I think about even some of my downfalls and some of the things that I don't do right. Friends, I know for a fact this man Jesus did all things well. And because he did all things well, if I can just follow him, I'll be all right. Notice this. In John chapter 20, it's not even part of my lesson, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because I just thought about it. In John chapter 20, Jesus is talking to Peter. And he says something powerful to Peter, because Peter was concerned about John after Jesus was raised from the dead. And Peter says unto Jesus about John, the one in whom Jesus loved, what about him? And Jesus told Peter, you follow me. The more I thought about that, sometimes we get so concerned about things and situations and circumstances around us that we lose our focus on Jesus. Young people, follow Jesus. Parents, follow the Lord. What does that look like? It looks just like this. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what it looks like. Oh, I could sit here and itemize everything that Jesus said, everything that Paul said, everything that Peter said. But no, friends, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is what we ought to do. So therefore, this message should open the door for people to have more reverence and respect towards God. In Proverbs 1 and verse number 7, I want us to take notice of these passages. I'm going to let you go after this. I told you I have you out before 1. I'm keeping my promise. In Proverbs 1, verse number 7, notice what your Bible there says. And friends, this is the root of evangelism right here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If we can have the fear of the Lord ourselves, those who are on the outside, those on our jobs, those in our households who may not be members of the Lord's church, who haven't had their sins washed away, if they can see the fear of the Lord within us, then that will probably promote them to also have that desire as well. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, we want to be a people, because of the gospel message, to have steadfastness and faithfulness, which is only in God. Notice what your Bible here has to say. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Friends, if we're going to be successful with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the message that God has left us, then we have to spend time with one another, and we have to help one another stay faithful. If I see my brother falling off, if I see my sister falling off, I'm going to do my level best to go out and get them and bring them back. If they see me falling off, hopefully you'll come back, come and get me too. No Christian left behind. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 8, this great message of hope helps us to have great joy in knowing that we have been saved from sin and wrath. Notice what took place in Samaria. a little verse, but very powerful all by itself. And the Bible there says, after they had obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there was great joy in that city. The gospel ought to bring joy to our lives. Number four, because of this great message, Brother Brian, we ought to embrace the promises of God, thus enjoying God's holiness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. Now, I want us to keep in mind 2 Corinthians 7 verse number 1 every single day. Because when you consider this particular passage, especially in its context, it is so powerful because Paul was just getting on the Corinthian brethren because they had involved themselves in things that they shouldn't have been involving themselves. And he told them that if you would depart from it, God will be your father and you will be his children. So in verse number 1 of chapter 7, Brother Popejoy, notice what we see here that is very encouraging for us. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. See, friends, I was telling the young people the other day in vacation Bible class that man is made up of three parts, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, mind, body, and spirit. And notice what Paul uses. He uses two of the three right here in this particular verse, which ought to teach us concerning even the gospel. God's gospel, God's good news, God's message is not just designed to help man's soul, but it's designed to help his soul, his spirit, and his body to bring us under control. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 1, notice, again, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Here it is. Perfecting holiness in the reverence of God. Proverbs 1:7. Notice the connection. God is blessing us with the gospel. He wants us to be those type of people. He wants us to position ourselves to repent if necessary. Drop down 9 verses to verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. What does this have to do with the gospel message? It has everything to do with the gospel message. Because in this gospel message, God wants men to repent. He wants them to turn away from sin. And as the people of God, because we listen to the words of Jesus Christ, we want to repent as well. Two more. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Here, notice what Paul says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Don't forget that. The Father of mercies. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall see God. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God will comfort us. If anything, the gospel should comfort us. Even when the floor is taken out from underneath us. Even when family issues take over sometimes. Even as the people of God, when it seems as if we're not doing what we need to do, as the local word, we stay there and we hang in there and we receive the comfort from God. The God of all comfort. If anybody knows how to comfort, it is God. We comfort one another with words. We comfort one another with hugs. We comfort one another with smiles. We comfort one another with truth. But notice verse 4. Who comforts us in all our troubles. In order that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. With the comfort with which. That wind just blew my. With which we ourselves are comforted. Notice. By God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. I want to leave you with this. Because of the gospel message that opened doors for all men, notice Hebrews 2 and Revelation 22. In Hebrews 12 and verse number 2, I said Hebrews 2. Hebrews 12 and verse number 2. You know, Brother Jerry, you couldn't find the page, and Brother Popejoy misread, and it's just one of those days, I guess. I thank God that the Word of God is perfect, even though we're not. God looks at our hearts, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Friends, if we're going to be focused on anyone, Shouldn't we focus on Jesus? Shouldn't we focus on him? Revelation 22, verse 3 through 5. I leave you with these words of encouragement because they're powerful and worthy of us to consider. Notice what is said. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Notice what those who are saved are going to do that day. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light. They shall reign forever and ever. Friends, the words of Jesus, go, preach, and baptize. What great words. What great benefits we have to doing God's will and knowing that he wants what's best for us. And as the people of God, we trust the words of Jesus. As a matter of fact, there was a saying back in the 80s, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everyone listens. I remember those commercials. When Jesus speaks, we ought to listen. And one thing we love about Jesus, or we should love about him, is that he's balanced. It seems as if he's getting on you, and then he'll comfort you. Only a God knows how to really talk like that. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to obey the gospel. You heard the gospel. I don't have to even say it. You heard the message this morning. If you're not a child of God, it's just pure. It's clear. It's understandable. And I know we have so many different messages out there, but Jesus said, when that guy told me, I don't believe that. I said, Jesus said that. You have to believe that. Jesus says it. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.